Hallelujah. Well, first of all, I just want to thank our senior pastor for this opportunity to bring forth the word today. It's a privilege, it's an honor, and I trust that the Lord will speak to us accordingly. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And welcome, everyone. Welcome today. Welcome, every one of you online. Stick with us. It's going to be good. It's been good already, but it's going to be better. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's declare together our confession. 2-3, go. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring, and in him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being, born of God, born of the seed of God himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's kind, and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise the roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace be still in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am undercover. No satanic plan against me. No divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am undercover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am undercover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with the booster shot of the covenant. I am undercover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am undercover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am undercover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places, and I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessings. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my father, and I am a joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken, and the limits are off. See, God has given me the cities, and the walls of Jericho are fallen. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, everything is possible. Emmanuel Ubani, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely, and your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, like garden by a river, like sweet smelling aloes that the Lord himself planted, and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own buckets and have your own channels of rich blessing and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning the victory, and who dares disturb you? Blessed of the Lord is anyone who blesses you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We made it through. Hallelujah. What a wonderful declaration. Right, I'm just going to go with what we've been discussing. So let's just go to Matthew chapter 16. And I'm just going to focus on something there. You know, when you see a picture, a whole lot has gone into taking that shot. Now, you look at the picture, you see a whole lot going on, you know. It conveys an emotion to you. We're talking about a professional photographer, right? That person has taken the time and made a decision to make you focus on something in that picture. So take, for instance, there's a whole lot going on in a picture, right? Maybe you have a picture where you have some people playing basketball. You have cheerleaders on one side. You have maybe the crowd. And then you have the coach. And now you have this photographer decides, okay, I'm going to focus on the coach. A whole lot is happening there. But all you see is the coach. Everything is important. Now, he could have decided to say, no, you know what, I'm going to take a shot of the guy with the ball and leave every other thing out. But he decided, the coach, that is the story I want to tell today. Everything is important. But today, this is the focus. Amen? And what does he do? Now, I'm going to give you some insight into what, you know, graphic designers and photographers do. You look at the picture, they have already conditioned your mind to look at something. So what they do is they can darken the edges a little bit, reduce the brightness of the edges of the picture. So whatever is out, far out there, your mind just tells you it's not important, right? And they can also blur the entire background of the picture. So you know that there are things there, but they are not clear enough, and you don't have the patience to want to look at it because you feel it's not important. And now what they do, they now make the subject pop, make it sharper, make it more colorful, maybe add some more color and saturate the color a little bit, you know. And then you're like, oh, wow, this is a wonderful picture. This coach, you know, and then you're focused on the coach. But there are people playing basketball there. There are cheerleaders in that picture, all important to the whole game. But the coach is what we are focused on because the photographer has decided this is what I want you to focus on. Amen? And so in this scripture in Matthew chapter 16 that we've been looking at, our senior pastor has been teaching from this for a while now. And I want to, out of all that is happening in this place, in this particular chapter, I want to narrow it down and just focus on something. And he alluded to the fact that this is very fundamental. Amen? And that is the conversation between Jesus and Peter. Hallelujah. And so just project for me Matthew 16, verse 15. I believe that's where that conversation started. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Next verse. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Jonah, Simon Bar Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And next verse. But I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, small rock, and upon this rock, pause. We heard during the convention, if not any other time, we heard that that rock there means revelation, right? Revelation knowledge. So now, in the context of this, he says, upon this rock, upon this revelation, what revelation are we talking about? The revelation of the person of Jesus. The revelation that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everything is built on this foundation. And he said, and I will build my church on this rock, on this revelation. Pause. Who is the church? We are the church, not the structure. So the Lord is not talking about raising buildings and all of that. No. He's talking about the called out ones. His assembly of Christ-like people. So when he's saying, I will build my church, he's saying, I will build you. Upon this revelation, I will build you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, or is it verse 7? He says, being rooted and built up in him. So, the Lord God is going to build you on the foundation of the revelation of the person of Jesus. So, anything you are building or any growth you are experiencing that is outside of knowing and experiencing Jesus is a false foundation. Amen? I know this is very elementary, but let's keep going. But I just want to lay this foundation for us. And what I'm trying to establish today is that the more we know him, the more we want to know him. That's the number one thing I hope we will get out of this message, that the more we know him, the more we would want to know him. And the next thing I want us to get out of this message today is that the more we know him, the more we discover who we are. Or the more we become like him. Amen. We're not saved to just live our lives. You know, you hear people say, I just want to be my authentic self. Your authentic self as a Christian is being more like Jesus every day. That is your authentic self. Because a lot of times when you hear that statement, it is just a way to say, can you give me some room for some compromise? You know, let me just step away from all these rigid requirements. I just want to be myself and be loose. But no, the Bible says, and this has been the running theme for my life for a while now, you know, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life we live now in him is powered by him. Is informed by him. So it's not about, you know, this is the way I am. No, the way you are is the way Jesus is. Or that's the way it ought to be. Hallelujah. And thirdly, The more we know him, the more we are able to access and proficiently exercise the authority that is readily available to us. Hallelujah. So he will build you upon the rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You become unmovable. You become a force. The enemy cannot move you. The enemy cannot just overpower you because you are founded in Christ. That is where it begins. So before you begin to reach out for the keys of the kingdom, this is where you begin. Amen? Because it's putting the cart before the horse. A lot of times we do this in the body of Christ. People are just reaching, I tap, I receive. Listen, there are principles. There are steps to this. There's a process to this thing. You know, the one time you hear, you know, I reach out, I want to receive the double. The double comes, faithfulness precedes the double. There are steps, there's a process to this thing. Hallelujah. I know how time, you know, flies on Sunday morning, so I'm just going to, you know. So let's move on real quick because I just wanted to lay that foundation. The Bible, let's move on to what Paul said about knowing Jesus. Remember, our pastor said, revelation is progressive. It is not a one-off experience. It's not an encounter. No. It is a day-to-day learning experience. That's why I said the more you know him, the more you want to know him. Now, this is the way Paul put it. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And for this next set of scriptures, I'm going to be reading all of them in the Amplified, except I state otherwise, so that we can just save time. Amen? So, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 10. Now, I just want to say here that Paul had just given his resume, list of things that he has accomplished, you know, his qualifications and all of the great things he has done. And now he comes to this point. And let me just preface what I'm about to say. He's not saying that what he has accomplished is useless. In the natural, it is useful. But when you place it side by side, knowing Jesus, there is no basis for comparison. You cannot compare your PhD with the knowledge of Christ. You cannot. Hallelujah. Am I making sense? All right, let's go. Verse 8. It says, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege. This is how he qualifies, and this is the value he places on knowing Jesus. The priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage. Hallelujah. The surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ gives you supreme advantage. Knowing Christ is more precious than anything you can think of. Its worth is surpassing. He says, the overwhelming preciousness, surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, personal. My Lord. Not the one I heard from the preacher. It is good. That is one step. But this is a personal experience. After you've heard it in church, you go back home and stay with him. My Lord, and of progressively, you see that word now? Progressively becoming. progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. So it is not a one-off experience. When we gave our life to Christ, you know, what we did, what happened was we just got, you know, our citizenship. You know, you just went through the basic, got the basic information to become a citizen. Now it's time to reign and live in the kingdom. There are principles. There is a way to get it done. You can't live anyhow in this kingdom. You cannot import behaviors into this kingdom. It will not work. It will not work. He said, progressively becoming. So it is expected that we are changed. Every day we are changing. We are transforming. Looking more and more like Christ every day. Becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. Not partial information. Not half-truths. It has to be full. And it has to be clear. Hallelujah. Now look at what he says here in verse 10. Let's just skip down to verse 10. He says, for my determined purpose. Hear me? Paul has been, you know, he has been serving Jesus for a while. He has been planting churches. He's not a neophyte in this thing. He didn't just start. You know how we used to call this thing back in the day, and I know he actually predates my time. It's an initial gra-gra. You just came into Jesus and you're like, too much zeal. You're so excited. No. That's not what's happening here. He has known Jesus for a while. He had the Damascus experience. You know, for some, you have Damascus experience. That is it. That's all the revelation. In fact, way to Damascus ministries. You set up a ministry and camp there. In fact, that place where you had that encounter, that is where you have camp meetings every year. You are not moving from that point. He spent years, when he got to his final destination, learning. Gaining understanding and knowledge of this Jesus. When he finally started his mission, went around, and now here he said, my determined purpose is that I may know him. An apostle. An apostle is saying that I may know him. In other words, what I know of him only created the hunger for me to know him more. It revealed my ignorance of who he is. The Bible talks about the many-sided wisdom of God. So you can never, anytime you hear somebody say, I know God, I know everything about God, run from that person. Run the opposite direction from that person and pray from that point. Don't go holding hands and say, you know, I want to, no, run. Hallelujah. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, but I may progressively, you see that word again, progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders, not wonder, wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. So every day our relationship, our understanding, our knowledge of Christ gets deeper. It gets richer. It gets clearer. That is why we are still preaching from the same Bible year in, year out. You come next Sunday, you will see something from the same verse you've been reading 20 years you've been saved, and you're like, oh my goodness. It's because your knowledge is progressive. It's increasing. The Lord is opening his word to you every day. The more you know, the more you want to know. And that should lead to you transforming and changing into his likeness more and more every day. That is the foundation. Hallelujah. That is Apostle Paul's account to this experience. I want us to finish that verse. He says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power overflowing from his resurrection." So, the more you know him, the more you are able to access the power. Don't go looking for power when you don't even know the source of the power. It will not work. You will catch familiar spirits. You will catch the wrong spirit. Foundations need to be laid. That is the way you get to know the voice of the Lord and the voice of the enemy. There are no sentiments in this thing. You can't say, listen, guard your heart with all diligence. There are wild people out there. The enemy knows that his time is running out. And he knows that you love the Lord and you love his word. So the only way he's going to get at you is to manipulate the word and present it to you and hope that you swallow it. Hallelujah. So the overwhelming passion, the overwhelming desire of Apostle Paul, a man who has achieved greater than pretty much everybody in this room put together, his overwhelming desire is to know Jesus more. To know him more. We know him. We are not newbies in this. We know him. But what we know at this point becomes the starting point for knowing him at the next level. You see, our senior pastor talks about, let's go deeper. Let's feed from a higher level. You have to feed on this level first so that you can climb to the next level. Amen? Hallelujah. So revelation knowledge of Christ gives us access to the keys of the kingdom. When you know Jesus, then you can now begin to access those keys and you can effectively use those keys. Hallelujah. Now let us go to what Peter, this same Peter that had this encounter. Understand that God was the one that implanted that revelation in the heart of Peter when he spoke. And when Jesus said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal it," he said, human interactions, you hanging out, you fellowshipping with man did not give you this revelation. It is my Father in heaven that put this in your heart. Hallelujah. And so let's look at what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. And we're going to read this also in the Amplified. Remember, when he gave that revelation in Matthew 16, right afterwards he thought, you know, he has arrived. He caught a revelation. He was feeling very powerful. And right after that, he called Jesus aside and said, "Stop confessing negative. You know, you will not die. Stop." Not knowing that the enemy has caught his tongue. The enemy has taken over his tongue at that point. Amen. So understand that just because you walked in Christ today, you demonstrated the power today. Be mindful. Be careful. Don't lose your guard. Don't let your guards down. Don't let your guards down. You spent time studying the word today. You say, "Okay, you know what? You know, I've spent time with the Lord. You know, let me just take a break for the next 6 months. I've gotten enough." No. You know, something that just dropped in my heart when I was preparing. He said, "Do you know that the devil knows the days you don't pray?" A lot of us don't think about it. The devil knows how inconsistent our fellowship is. He knows. He's been watching. He also knows, and he's been watching us go around making negative confessions, displaying lack of faith and all. He's been watching. He's been listening. So when he comes, he knows how to come at you. And sometimes when it rains, it pours. He just comes at you from every angle. And you just collapse. Because there is no proper, you're not building on the right foundation. It's coming out of the mouth, but the heart is not established. Hallelujah. He saw us. You know, you go through weeks, days, no prayer. And you know the devil cannot tell anything except you open your mouth, except he watches you and sees how you manifest. So he's been watching. He himself, he knows that your power comes from you staying in the presence of God. And so when you don't spend time, he comes. He shows up and he hits you. Hallelujah. But God forbid, we are strong in the Lord. We are rooted and built up in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, the Bible says, may grace, God's favor, and peace, this is how he describes peace, which is perfect well-being. Now I want you to look at this list and let me know afterwards if there is anything missing that you need. He says, peace, which is perfect well-being. All necessary good. Is there anything missing from necessary good? All spiritual prosperity. Now, he now takes it to the next level. And freedom from fears. Fears is plural. So whatever fear you can think of, freedom from it. And agitating passions, anxiety, panic attacks, all of those things. He says, and freedom from moral conflicts. Your flesh is trying to get you. You are free from it. There is peace. He says, let it be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. I want us to read it again. Look at it again. He says, may grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being. You are sound in your body. Everything you need is supplied, sufficiently supplied. All necessary good, whatever you need to do life, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflict be multiplied to you through the knowledge of Christ. The more you know him, the more you have access to this peace. The enemy cannot sell fear to you. The more you know him. So, it says here, through the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God. So, there is incorrect information out there. There are things that are not precise. It is packaged to look like it, but it's not it. And it has to be personal. It has to be personal. It cannot, the experience we have here as a congregation cannot be sufficient. It cannot replace the personal walk. Matter of fact, our communal experience is even more energized based on your personal walk. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I come in full of authority, you come in full of authority, there will be an earthquake. There will be a shaking. But if I come in, my wood is wet. You come in and the life has done you, you know, life has happened to you. Amen. Like Apostle Paul said, you know, buffeted. You've been through and you just managed to make it to church. The praise will not be hot. The worship will be almost like a plea for help. But when we come in full of power, full of joy that comes from knowing him, we set this place ablaze. The confession says, I raise the roof with my praise. It's not mechanical. It's not based on, you know, let me. It's not physical. It flows from the spirit. Hallelujah. Bible says it is personal. It is full. It is correct. But it is the knowledge of God. The peace you are looking for. The spiritual prosperity you are looking for. The freedom from fear and agitating passions comes from you knowing Christ. Some time ago, you know, I had somebody who every day they call and they are praying. You know, these two people were prayer partners. For years, every week or whatever, or twice a week, I don't even know. You are praying, you know, you are praying against fears and panic attacks and all of. And I told the person that they keep calling for prayer, I said, listen, how much time do you guys even spend in the Word? Because this prayer is almost born out of fear. That prayer session is born out of fear. Fear that it is going to happen again. Like you know, oh my God, let's pray. Let's get this prayer in before the enemy comes. No. You will never be able to break that cycle. It has to be a personal decision. Say, listen, I'm done with this. And you shut it down. You say, listen, okay, we've prayed this prayer enough. Now, Lord, you have given me authority. So I take authority over this. It's not every prayer of agreement is not a perpetual thing. You come together and pray and you wait for the result. It's not every day for years. No, now. There are things to be done in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 3, for his divine power has bestowed, it has already given to us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us. Twice it mentioned it. It has to be full and it has to be personal. You cannot thrive on my own revelation of Christ. You cannot thrive on the pastor's revelation of Christ. He has walked with God to the point where he is right now. What he is saying is like it's an area of view. He's telling you what is up there. You catch it and come up. But it has to be personal. It has to be personal. So, key things here, key statements, the word, your knowledge of Christ has to be full. No half-truths about Jesus. A lot of people are peddling some nonsense out there. If you are hooked up, you know, a lot of people have podcasts right now. The amazing thing you hear out there, it just shocks you, the ignorance. Heard a teaching this morning where, you know, we're driving down to church. He said, listen, the Lord is not going to change the Bible to suit your generation. Just because, I'm Gen Z, we can't. No. Principles don't change. You adjust to God. God does not adjust to you. You adjust to him. Hallelujah. He says, it must be full. That's the number one thing we need to know. There are no half-truths. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Let's just look at that scripture real quick. I know we've not been flipping through Bible. Let's just flip real quick. Colossians 1, verse 9. Let's just read 9 and 10 in the King James. We're very familiar with that. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Next. "That ye might walk worthy of him unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." The knowledge has to be full. It has to be full. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable." It is profitable. Verse 17 says, "And so that the man of God may be fully equipped, thoroughly furnished, and ready for every good work." Hallelujah. Scripture says that it must be personal. So don't just run off with what I say or what some pastor said. Go to the Word. Learn of him. Have a personal encounter with Jesus. Having a personal walk, daily walk with Jesus. Get intimate with him. Get to know him. Because that is the way we discover who we are. That's how you get to know your true self, your true nature. That's how you get to know the power that is available to you. Now we hear this power, we hear authority. But we are not free enough. We are not confident enough to begin to exercise it. Why? Because we don't have that knowledge. We don't even know the extent of the authority and the power that we have. Something that blew my mind this week as I was just walking randomly and it just stopped me. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And our senior pastor was preaching this. He said, that's how, stick with the Word. You might not get it today. It might hit you 2 years down the line, something you heard 2 years ago. I was just carrying on my day, not doing anything particularly spiritual. And John 11:40 hit me. "Did I not say, if you believe, you will see the glory?" We are talking about a man that has been dead 4 days. Buried. It's a different case if he's still out. He is already buried. Case closed. Sealed off. What is that thing that you think is dead and buried? They told you they've given the job to somebody else. That's case closed, right? They've given the contract to somebody else. Did I not say? We need to change the way we are thinking of this thing. What the world calls final is not final with God. You can change it. You can change it. But that has to be a personal revelation. It's not because I'm saying it right now. It has to come alive in your spirit. Then it becomes an authority. You can say it with authority. You can say it boldly. And you see it happen. That woman was saying, "I know Jesus, we thank God for your life. You know, yes, there will be resurrection day. You know, things will happen. We praise God. This one is over." Jesus said, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You will see glory. When you believe, you will see glory." Hallelujah. Let's move on real quick. And I'm going to wrap this up in a few. Oh, wow. Okay. It has to be personal. Quick story. This Samaritan woman at the well. She had an encounter with Jesus, right? Spoke with Jesus at that point, and Jesus revealed himself to her, and she got excited and became an evangelist right there. John chapter 4, in case you're looking for it. And she ran into the city, into the village, and told everybody, "Oh, I've met a man who told me all my story, blah, 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 and all that. He's Jesus, the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for." Right? The Bible says some of them believed. But the other said, listen, we are not going to depend on what you said. We want to see this Jesus. We want to have our own experience of this Jesus. Listen, they kidnapped Jesus. They said, Jesus, you are going to be here at least 2 days. Stay here. We will feed you. You will teach us. We will listen to you. Look at verse 42 for me, please. John 4, 42. And if you can, just put it in the Amplified so that it can be delicious. And they told the woman, now we no longer believe, trust, have faith just because of what you said. Not just because of what the pastor said. Not just because of what the preacher said. Or what the prophet. He said, for we have heard him ourselves personally. And we know that he is truly the Savior. You know, when you get secondhand information, anybody can knock it off. If somebody tells you something and somebody else you trust more, you know, you respect, comes and say, that is a lie, you will knock off that information. Right? So they had to get the information from the source. This one, you can't knock off that one easily. You can't. So don't live on second-hand information. Let it be personal. When you say that he is my God, he is my Lord, you are talking from experience. The Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good. That know there, when you check, you know, the real meaning, it talks about knowledge from experience. That you have worked with God and you have come to this conclusion that you know him. This God, he will make sure that everything works together for my good. Hallelujah. So it has to be personal. And then finally, it must be accurate, precise, or correct. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly, correctly, dividing the word of truth. Put it in the Amplified. There's a word right there in the Amplified. It says, who rightly handling, and say, okay, let's read from the top. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourselves to God approved, tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. It has to be accurate. It has to be correct. You can't be riding on false doctrine and expecting heaven to back it up. How does that happen? A ghost worker does not claim authority. Hallelujah. You might get that next week. Classic examples of all of this. Everything I've said right now, quick one, and I'm going to close out. Sorry for taking your time. I'm going to tell you a story here. Now, I'm going to tell you a story of a bunch of people who, they heard about Jesus. They don't have a real relationship with him. It is nothing personal to them. They heard. They're a bit religious. They have some information, but it's not the right one. In fact, the information is dated. Put it that way. And these guys, they showed up. And the Bible talks about them being on a deliverance tour, going from city to city, conducting deliverance. It's in your Bible. You will see it now. But they did not understand that Paul had already come through that part and had dealt the enemy a big blow. So the devil was not having it. He was not playing today. You know, there are times when the enemy allows you just to goof around, you know, make you feel like you're winning. Especially, I'm not talking about you really, but, you know, those who have no personal and real relationship with Christ, who have no depth, and you are wielding authority and trying to act like you have some authority, and you say, let him keep deceiving himself as long as he doesn't do any real damage. Just keep going. And so these guys have been going from city to city, conducting so-called deliverance, And they're feeling very strong, and they now showed up in this place. Let's read this scripture firsthand. Acts 19 from verse 11. As you know, Pastor alluded to this story. I think I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Yes. Acts 19, verse 11. Just going to go ahead. You catch up. And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or towels or aprons which had touched his skin were carried away and put upon the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Verse 13. Then some of the traveling Jewish exorcists, they were on tour, right? Men who adjure evil spirits, who undertook to call the name of Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, now this is the weird part. He says, I solemnly implore. I solemnly implore and charge you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. They don't know this Jesus. They have no personal relationship with this Jesus. But, you know, Paul has been using that name to do things and do great things. So let's tap into this experience and give ourselves some fame. So I adjure you, I solemnly declare, get out of them in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. This son, seven sons, verse 14, seven sons of a certain Jewish chief priest named Sceva were doing this. Verse 15, but one. You know how, as you know, Pastor talks about, you know, the devil just blows you some breeze, you know, and you think that he has brought out his best weapon. He said, one evil spirit replied, the one. He says, Jesus, I know. I know what Jesus has done to me. He says, and Paul, even Paul, I know about. We have just had an encounter of Paul. He just kicked us out. And you now showed up. You, he says, please, who are you? You remember our pastor was saying, it is better that the devil knows that you are a pastor than you walking around and everybody's calling you pastor. This is the situation here. Everybody's seen them, deliverance minister, itinerant minister, you're all over the place going around delivering people from demonic attacks. And you now showed up here with the wrong manual. And the devil said, who are you again? And the Bible says in verse 16, then the man in whom the evil spirit dwelt leaped upon them, mastering two of them, and was so violent against them that they dashed out of the house in fear. The fear that knowing Jesus takes away, they received it. He said, in fear, stripped naked and wounded. Knowing Jesus has to be personal. You have to receive the accurate and full knowledge of him. You don't go around trying to demonstrate the power of God when you have no knowledge of him. Rooted and built up in Christ. That way, we cannot be moved by the enemy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we just rise up on our feet this morning? Or this afternoon. Rooted and built up in him. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell prevailed against these people because they had no knowledge. The same place Paul just did wonders. Extraordinary miracles. That's what the Bible describes it. This one showed up and the devil stripped them naked and exposed them and kicked them out. We have not believed cunningly devised fables. There is power in that name. You access the authority, you activate the authority in your life the more you know him. You are more confident the more you know him. You access those keys and you begin to do wonders. This is our year of God class exploits, right? Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 11 verse 32. they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They that progressively know their God. They didn't get that information from somebody. They know it is personal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want us to pray this morning. Every place in your life right now, I want you to take back authority. Every area of your life, take back authority. The hedge is broken not because the enemy broke it. It's because we fell back on our responsibilities. We didn't keep up in our relationship. The hedge was broken. Rebuild the hedges right now. Begin to plead the blood of Jesus. Rebuild those hedges right now. The gates of hell will not prevail against any single one of us in this place in the name of Jesus. In every area of our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, that those hedges are built up. They are rebuilt, O God. They are standing strong in the mighty name of Jesus. We reject and we refuse every access of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. The serpent has no place. He has no foothold. He has no access to any area of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over our finances, over our marriages, over our homes, over every aspect of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We are walking in authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Every day and in every way, we are growing spiritually. We are growing in our knowledge of Christ. We are growing in our knowledge of Christ. We are built up in Him and we walk in this authority in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. You have no place in our lives. You have no place in our homes. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We declare Jesus Christ is our Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord. We are submitted to His authority. We are submitted to His authority. And we walk in this authority in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all of the glory, our God. We give you all of the glory, our God. We give you all of the glory, our God. We give you all of the glory, our God. In the mighty name of Jesus. We will not give our ears to the deception of the enemy. We will not give our hearts to the lies of the devil. Every concept, every suggestion, every idea, every word spoken that is not consistent with the will of God, that does not help us stand strong and firm in the will of God, in the full knowledge of Him, in the precise, in the accurate, in the correct knowledge of Christ, we command right now that in the name of Jesus, that it cease to flow in our lives, cease in its operation. The Bible says there is no divination and no enchantment against us. Nothing said in secret places we have any effect in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we know who we are and we know whose we are in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Yokes are broken. Burdens are lifted. Yokes are broken. Burdens are lifted in the name of Jesus Christ. Elijah said, by my word, a man under authority, a man who knew who he was and whose he was. We stand today and we declare, by our word today, the enemy terminates operation in our lives in the name of Jesus. Everyone connected to us, in the name of Jesus, We speak peace. Peace over our minds. Peace over our lives. Peace over our affairs. In the mighty name of Jesus. No fear here. No fear in this place. In the name of Jesus. No panic attacks. In the name of Jesus. We are not unsettled on the inside. In the name of Jesus. Where the world is crying, we are celebrating his goodness. In the name of Jesus. Our light is shining brighter and brighter. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. This is the month of August. And if you know anything about numbers, say 8 is the number for new beginnings. We are not carrying over any failure. We are not carrying over misfortune. We are not carrying over any crippling operation of the enemy. It is a new day. It is a new beginning. The rain is coming, and we are ready for it. We are ready for the new thing the Lord has for us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you all of the glory. Somebody just thank the Lord in this place. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.